Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, September 9th, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to chat with Dan and Jordan for our Ask an Atheist. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and strongly encourage listener interaction this week with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can use email or tweet to talk to us whenever you're listening to the podcast. Dan, Jordan, good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, I think today, in between potential calls, you guys did a little bit of research into looking for at some questions for us.
Yeah. We're looking around on the internet, different forums and places that kind of like are on this topic. They kind of ask, you know, atheists questions and about what we believe or terminology, different things like that.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess what's like the most common one, do you think that you've been asked, any of you?
See, I don't get asked very often, though I do have a coworker who I like to debate with because he keeps going on about how I'm not an atheist, I'm an agnostic.
Oh, yeah. And what's your answer to that? Or how do you...
I was going to say, in that case, your definition includes Richard Dawkins and most of the other super atheists. So I'm going to disregard your definition.
So what then? I mean, okay, definition then. If I say I'm an atheist, you know, to me, I'll tell you what that means to me. And I don't know if you people will agree or not, you people.
I don't agree.
I knew it. But it means, you know, theism, belief in God. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And honestly, it's almost that simple. It doesn't say anything about my beliefs on social mores or on, you know, I mean, even things things like believing in ghosts. Can you be an atheist and do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen people who do it. Yeah. I mean, I don't do it personally, but I have seen people who do it. I personally would love there to be ghosts because that would be awesome.
I would too, but
you know.
Oh yeah.
But for me, the whole atheist thing is simple. Or no belief in God. That's pretty much cut and dry.
Right. And that's, I think, where it really falls apart when people are like, you know, well, atheism then is a religion because you all have beliefs just like we do and tenets of faith and, you know, et cetera. And it's like, it really doesn't though. I mean,
atheism is a religion, just like bald is a hair color.
Right.
Or off is a channel.
Right.
Abstinence is a sex position.
I think that it's, you know, part of me is like, it feels like, some part of the people that ask that question or say that, I should say ask that question, that make that accusation, it's like, it does come off as an accusation too, right? So it's kind of like, well, you're a religion too. It's almost like they're thinking, yeah, I know my belief is kind of not justifiable and odd and et cetera. So I'm going to drag you down to my level too.
I feel like they're trying to put atheists into a particular box with them of like, well, but you are like me. And it's like, no, sweetie.
Not really.
The beliefs I have a bit more evidence.
Right. Yeah,
it's not, we're not just like blindly throwing stuff out there. It's like, I've actually thought about this stuff. I'm just like, I'm not just jumping on a bandwagon.
If it's not, it can't be called like a, because there are no tenets any more than if you say, well, I don't believe in, you know, fairies, then, you know, therefore my whole worldview is wrapped around my non-belief of these beings. That just doesn't work.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I was distracted by Facebook.
Shiny things?
Well, Maddie was saying, oh my gosh, there's an open mic. I should have crashed. And it's like, yes, Maddie.
Maddie, you should be here. But that's okay.
You can call in.
Right.
I know you're listening.
Right. All right. So, other questions that come up frequently.
Oh.
I had somebody ask me once, I brought this up before. It's like, it was a guy at work, it's super religious guy. It's like something about like denying my creator. It's like, I don't. I love my parents very much.
Yeah.
It's like they created me, and that's pretty much, you know, what it is.
Oh, yes. And admittedly, now my parents are pretty awesome. I know, Dan, you've met them. I don't know if Jordan, you have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's met my parents. But I do know that there are parents who definitely should be denied because they're not good parents.
Right.
It's like the whole honor thy father and mother thing. It's like that's a bad idea.
Well, yeah, it seems like, you know, you should have people should be honored if they deserve it and rate it. If you, you know, have an abusive parent or that sort of thing, I don't know that honoring them is really the way to go.
No.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, sure, but obviously we're not in one. So, you know, your parents are, I don't know, alcoholics, drug addicts, whatever. Right. It's like, I'm just not going to maybe not listen to them quite all the time.
So here's another question that I've gotten quite a bit and that I hear quite a bit. And that's, okay, if you don't believe in a God, then why do you, you know, waste all your time, your effort, and all your attention on something like religion, on God? You know, you say it's like believing in fairies, but you don't spend all your time like, you know, meeting up and talking about fairies or your non-belief of them. What would you answer to that?
People do less stupid things in the name of fairies than they do in the name of God.
There are far less people that that I know of that worship fairies.
Yeah, most
specifically.
Of them, I think most of them are in Iceland, and while
which is weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Yeah. Because it's also like one of the biggest atheist countries. But it's
proving that you can be an atheist and still believe in, right.
Oh, yeah.
Supernatural or
doesn't make us
whatever.
Necessarily smart as far as any topic. It doesn't make us like skeptical in everything else in our life.
There are so many things I'm a complete idiot about. But it's one of those where what I see people doing in the name of religion and God, it's like, you know, blowing themselves up. I have never heard of someone blowing themselves up because of fairies.
Not yet.
Not yet. I mean, now granted, if people started blowing themselves up in the name of fairies.
Well, then we might have a problem.
That's a totally different thing.
But yeah, it hasn't happened yet. So we'll, when the time comes, we might acknowledge that.
Yeah. So I feel it's really more that, you know, there is, when people are trying to make laws on things like this, according to their religion, or get special privileges, I think that's really where I start to have a problem. Because I couldn't care less what somebody whether they believe in a God or not. Honestly, it doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever.
Right.
Right.
No. Yeah. Whatever somebody wants to believe, that's their business. That's fine. But it's as soon as they start telling us what we should believe, like, it's like, oh, I believe this, so you should too.
Right.
That's where we kind of got a little problem.
I figure 80 or 90% of the people we meet every day are believers in a religion of some sort. And it's never like I have a problem.
It's not like we go up and ask them. It's like, hey, what do you believe in?
Right. It doesn't come into my daily, you know, life a whole lot, honestly.
No.
I have that on my to-do list every day. Ask people what they believe in.
And then judge them accordingly.
Yes.
Right?
I do admit that, especially when somebody's got like the cross, if they're wearing the cross and stuff, because there's different levels of Christianity, kind of like there's different levels of fandom in geek society. And the people usually who are like the wearing the cross and stuff, I see that and I'm there. I mean, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, okay.
It's like, all right, I know, but you know what? I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to bother you right now.
Yeah. Not saying that wearing a cross in and of itself is bad or we should not have that, but it's just one of those, usually that signals a certain brand of Christianity, the way they're more likely to talk about it and such. And I'm just
now,
like,
is that more just to profess their religion or just to ward off Satan?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never asked. That would be hilarious to start asking. I should not do that.
No, don't do that.
No.
you might cause... Yeah, you might get them a little bit angry.
I think one of the reasons that discussions about theism and atheism become so passionate is that, you know, I can have a political position about, say, taxes, and you might be very liberal on socialistic or whatever. Yep. Maybe yours is not, so it's, you know, but that, and we can be very passionate about that, and you know, but it doesn't seem to rise to the level of religion. I think because with religion, it's not even just a life or death thing with people who believe. It's an immortal soul sort of thing. The stakes are so much higher in a believer's mind than anything else ever could be.
Right.
You know, you're a direct threat to their family. You know, if you know, your beliefs start to infiltrate into like their sons or their daughters, and they stop believing, they might never see them for eternity.
Right.
And that's a, you know, really scary proposition or possibility for these people to think about.
Well, fortunately, we don't have to wait for eternity. We just have to get through the break, and we'll be back.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, Dan and Jordan. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone. There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. Today we have Dan and Jordan here to talk about Ask an Atheist. Before we get back, however, I do want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following the program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheist. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in this conversation with Dan and Jordan this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. We do also have a couple of announcements. Our donors this week is Steve. So thank you, Steve, and to all of our wonderful donors. And we do have a couple of events to highlight this month. The first one is the Dinner with the Board, which is scheduled for October 1st. It should be delicious. I might have a little inkling as to what the menu is, and my mouth is already watering. For more details, please look at our meetup. And also the book fair at the State Fair on October 14th, where Minnesota Atheists will be sharing a table with Free Thought Publishing.
It's a dangerous place for me to go to.
Oh, but so delicious. I went last year or the year before, and I want to go back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. But back to the here and now. Dan, Jordan, welcome back.
Thanks.
We're still here.
Yeah.
It was not an eternity.
Right.
Though it may have felt like it.
So we were kind of chatting over the break, and about, you know, other questions that come up quite frequently. And one of them that comes up is, all right, isn't it true that most of you atheists just don't want to believe in a God? And then there's a second part to that question, but let's start out with that. Is it true for what the people sitting here that, you know, that's part of why you're an atheist? Does it have anything to do with, like, first of all, we know it's not being angry at God, because that doesn't work. That's
right.
You've acknowledged the existence at that point. So,
yep.
You could be an anti-theist, I guess, but anyways, so, you know, would you prefer there to be a God? And I'm not saying specifically Christian God or Muslim God or whatever, but, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
It would give me something to be angry at, because,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the book Greta Christina wrote, you know, Why Are You Atheists So Angry?
Right, which is a great book.
Oh, yeah. And she has a great list,
mm-hmm.
you know. All you have, I mean, it's like baby cancer. That's all you need to start with. It's something as simple as baby cancer.
Yeah. Because they have done horrible things in the first few hours of their lives.
Exactly. Right.
That's the problem of evil, of course.
Yeah, to deserve that.
Oh, yeah. So it's...
But would you prefer, like...
Say
the religion that you were brought up in, that were true. Would you...
I was brought up Catholic.
Yeah.
I would probably prefer the Norse pagan gods, personally, because they never had the whole... Like, you don't have the baby cancer problem with that one, because they never really
said
went into
the gods
that,
were all
as
nice.
As far as I know. Well, they just drank a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, we should probably get a pagan on here to correct me on this.
That's good enough for me.
I know. I'm like looking, going, they fought.
Neil Gaiman's latest book was on the Norse mythology. It's awesome if you have
gotta
a
read
chance.
That. But yeah, so it's like some gods I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
But eh?
I mean, for me, I was raised Catholic also. And, you know, you're taught all your life how loving he is and all powerful. And I would love to believe in him if he was like that, mm-hmm. if he made everybody's lives so much better. But you know, all you gotta do is really just take a look around and be like, okay, he's not really like that, even if he does exist. You know, there's people that are, they worship him daily and their lives are just miserable.
I think the idea of, yeah, the idea is, you know, certainly something like, okay, immortality and being able to be happy, and they're being final justice for, you know, people like Stalin and Hitler, that it's not just like, well, you know, they did all these evil deeds and then they died like anybody else and now it's done.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of that is very compelling, you know, and of having somebody always watching out for you and really caring. I mean,
yeah.
That you're like the center of the universe, that a universal war is being fought over you and your soul. That's very heady stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, if you keep asking him for stuff, it's like, you should get it right away, but you don't.
So I guess for me, it's certainly not because I don't want there to be a God, but.
Do you think there's a monetary system with souls? Like the whole thing is getting souls. You know, I think it was the show Supernatural had a cool thing where it's like more souls meant more power somehow.
Yeah.
But it just, that's the one question I have is why the souls?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why he needs more souls.
So I'm trying to remember the second part of where I was actually headed with this. I've already run myself right off the rails.
Proof?
I think if it isn't that you don't want there to be a God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, I mean, why? No, I really have lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
And he's derailed.
I'm derailed.
Okay.
Right.
I'm trying to come up with a train pun, and it's just not coming.
Right.
That's because we're here too early in the morning on a Sunday.
Yes.
Right. So, if you reject. If you're not rejecting it for that reason, then what is really the reason? If it's not emotional, because a lot of times I've had more than a few people come up and they talk to me. It's like, why is it that most atheists reject God because of emotions?
That was not my reason. That's not the reason of most people I've met.
And that's my answer.
It's an emotional problem.
I think a lot of movies. Christian movies, as we know, you listen to god awful movies, you'll realize this very quickly. They present this, you know. Usually these movies have, you know, somebody's parent dies, so they get angry, and then they don't believe in God.
Oh yeah,
or their kid.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, okay. I actually had someone, someone who had a very close person have cancer, had breast cancer, and I had this other friend who was Christian, and we met up somewhere in the middle of the chemo, and they were like, have they changed their mind about God? And I'm looking, going, she did ask, you know, how is she doing? Yeah. But I'm just like, the hell?
Of all the questions you could ask, you ask that one.
You ask about that. Okay, great. No, she hasn't changed her mind. It's actually made this process that much better, because she knows there's no great plan, or she's not being tested. It's a random happenstance.
Yeah. So I have another backup question here, and I know we're getting close to the break, but I'm gonna like lead it out here anyways. So why is it that it seems like here in America that, you know, when we talk about God, it's like it's all about the Christian God, and we point out these problems with Christianity, and we point out that, you know, say, oh, look at Fred Phelps and his, you know, Westboro Baptist Church and stuff like that. But, you know, there are Muslims right now that are preaching the same sort of thing, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
pretty much
probably today, right? So why don't we go after them, or do we, or what's that? Aren't we just being anti-Christianity as opposed to just being atheists?
Well, we'll return with our answers to that. And Dan and Jordan are right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I am your host, Hertzy Hertz. In studio, we have what I would classify as a fun conversation with Dan and Jordan. Before we continue this conversation, I have a couple of notes. Atheist Talk is produced with the funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurants in Edina. And I just lost my place. There we go. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate the support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like us to advertise on this, if you'd like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by a dedicated and amazing group of volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. If you're able to help out with the donations, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or our new Patreon at patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brett Michaels Davis and is used with permission. As always, you can check out Minnesota Atheist website at minnesotaatheist.org. You can also sign up for Atheist Weekly email. AWE will tell you all of the Minnesota Atheist events going on, and it's a great tool to stay connected with the community. If you enjoy this show and all of Minnesota Atheist has to offer, consider being a member of Minnesota Atheist while you're on the website. Your support helps us better serve you. With all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Dan and Jordan.
Thanks.
All right.
Now, Dan, you left us on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I was talking about how, you know, some people will point to atheists here in America and say, well, you know, it seems like all you do is like try to debunk or fight against Christianity. You know, isn't that kind of saying in a way, you know, that is the correct religion, and you're just, you know, this is the thing that you fight against? You never talk about the other 6,000 religions? I can't remember. A lot. It's like 6,000.
I don't even think that they can get the number straight, how many different ones there are.
Right. Well,
and how many of them are actually just sects of Christianity or Muslim or whatever.
There's numbers on that. But anyways, why not that? Why, you know, why you focus all your time and energy on this? It seems suspicious, you know? So what's your answer to that?
Why we go against Christianity
Why we talk about Christianity so much?
It's the dominant religion in the country. So, I mean, I know a few other people that are, you know, different religions, but for the most part, you know, you'll hear that thrown around a lot. We're a Christian nation. I mean, we're not, but that is the dominant religion. Mm-hmm.
I admit there's also a little bit of another one for me. Oh, we have a caller? We might have a caller. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Well, let's keep going.
But another one for me is, admittedly, I to a point, I feel a little bad for some of the other religions because, you know, for example, Islam in the U.S., not only...
It's hard to feel bad for Islam.
Well, I was going to say, it is hard to feel bad, but I mean, a lot of times these are people who sometimes have their own rights trampled and such as far as freedom of religion. And so, you know, for me, it's like, you guys already have enough crap piled on you. You don't need this on top of it. Christianity, on the other hand, at least in the U.S., does not have this.
Right.
Issue.
I would talk about Islam more if there were a bunch of Muslims that were trying to pass laws according to their beliefs.
And I was going to say, it's like
here. I mean,
it's like we're in the, if we're in the Middle East and we said we're atheists.
And we do have Stacy who has a question for us.
All right.
Stacy?
Hey, guys. I guess I had two questions for you just out of curiosity. First, when did you individually decide to be an atheist or decide you were an atheist? And how did your family and friends react to that?
All right. So I'll go first. I started to identify as an atheist actually, oh gosh, probably around 2004. So it was about 20 something. And how my family and friends reacted, I have a very unique situation on that where my mother was actually she and I fight over who came out first, more of you did. So there was actually that kind of a situation. So we both kind of had that at a very similar time. And then my father actually ended up, I guess, deconverting from being a staunch Catholic about 2 years after that.
Okay.
I think, The you used a word that caught me just a little bit, the decide to become an atheist, and I might have a question about that because I don't know. Do you decide on something you believe, or you just come to that conclusion? But ignoring that for a second, because that's another topic. But I guess I was in my late teens, probably early 20s. And it was just a slow convert. I don't remember a certain time when it's like, okay, now I'm an atheist. It was just like, I guess I can't believe these things anymore. And I'm also very lucky. I have an amazingly wonderful, loving family. So it has not caused the kind of problems that it has with a lot of other people. And I've had some friction with some friends over it. But in general, I also have really great friends. So I'm lucky in that regard too, I guess.
For me personally, it was actually kind of a struggle at first. It was probably a couple of years ago, when I first moved up here. I'm from a very small town in Wisconsin where, you know, yes, I'll get back to that. But for me, it was, you know, everybody goes to church on Sunday. You work your 9-to-5 job. If I were to like even profess these kind of thoughts, like I have doubts at all, I'd be just shunned by everybody. So I would say I was kind of on the fence for a long time, but I met like groups of people that, you know, they shared the same ideals that I did when I first moved up here, and it just made the process a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, I do believe that as far as family and friends, being up north does have a help. And also, I mean, admittedly, being in a more urban environment, because I've heard horror stories of people down in the south where they get kicked out of their houses and stuff.
Families disown them. Right.
Yep.
So thank you so much, Stacy.
Yeah, thank you.
I also do have a quick tweet from Steve Peterson. He says that belief in God is completely subjective. For me, it is... the belief has no relevance as it has no impact on my daily life. Thank you, Steve.
Would you agree that belief or non-belief in God doesn't affect your daily life?
Only in the sense that I get to pick and choose my own morals, and I love that. that was a great one for me because I was like, wait, I can decide that this is horseshit. Oh, crap. but this is bad.
You got your one.
Oh, yeah. Crap.
I think that it does affect you. I think it has to affect you. I don't know a single Christian that would tell me that their belief in God doesn't affect them and in every single way in their life. Every Christian I know would tell you that.
Yeah.
And not believing in one also affects me. I'm not, as Herzog was saying, I'm not beholden to, you know, Judaic law or the writings of Islam of in the Quran. These don't affect me except as how they affect other people. So I can't agree with that. I think it really does make a very big difference in how you view the world. All right. So, okay, I got to hit it because it's always lurking in the background. The great Pascal's wager, right?
In 5 minutes.
I can do it in 2 seconds. No, Pascal's wager, which is, anybody want to paraphrase it or?
Well, it's basically the, you know, simplest way is, what is it now? It's, you know, believe in, it's like,
why wouldn't you believe in God? And if you're wrong, yeah, isn't it safer to go ahead and believe in God?
Believe in God just in case he is real.
Right.
If you believe in him.
What do you lose?
And he's not real. If you go nothing. Ahead. Nothing.
Right.
And the same thing on the other side. If you don't believe in him and he doesn't exist, nothing happens. But if you don't believe in him and he does exist, well, then you burn for eternity.
So what's the problem with this question or this observation or view?
I actually have a new one that I actually thought of like 2 seconds ago. I lose freedom. The freedom to do some of the things that I enjoy doing.
A lot of Christians say that's why you don't want to believe in God, because you want to be able to do whatever you want.
Yeah, except for there's a lot of also of the like the ones where I'm just like, the hippie, God loves everybody areas of Christianity where they don't have this problem. But the ones who usually are going to bring up Pascal's wager oftentimes are the more strict evangelicals. And I'm like, yeah. I'm sorry, your rules just don't gel.
Well, why don't you just do it just in case?
Right. It's like, I have two major problems with this. First of all, which God, you know? So if you should just, you know, go ahead and believe in God and hedge your bet. And it's like, well, but there's hundreds of other religions that are telling me the same thing about their God. If I go with, you know, Islam God, isn't that going to really annoy some other God? Or, you know, so it's like that doesn't work. And second, I'm assuming an omniscient being would know I was faking. Because it's not like I just, don't believe there's a God. So it's like, I can't be like, okay, I'm going to act like there is though. And God will not know the difference, right? Not know the difference. And I'm going to be cool. That seems really illogical to me.
That was, I remember in Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, they did like a study, you know, of hospital patients. Mm. You know, like some of them get prayers, some of them get don't. And then they got studied, and then I can't remember what the whole thing was, but it's like that the ones that they said that the ones that got prayers, they actually got worse. But that was just because like God knew that the study was being conducted anyway.
It wasn't just pressure from their feeling from their family members putting more stress on them at a difficult time.
It's like, come on, we're praying for you. You need to get better,
right? Yeah, I think, you know, it sounds logical at first blush. It's like, oh, yeah, why wouldn't you just? And then, but then it's like, yeah, but.
But kinda, which one?
Right. And again, I just can't, you know, I know we're almost out of time, but okay, give me an example, because this comes up also. Okay. All right. So what, isn't it true that you just don't want to believe? And what sort of proof? That no amount of proof would be enough for you. I mean, look at the sunrise. So what would be enough to make you believe? What would be something? Here it is. Give it to me.
See, here's the thing. I can explain the sunrise.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So
maybe you can worship the sun. You know, you can see
it. It's there.
You know where it goes.
Yeah. Just don't look at it too long.
Right.
Is there something that could make you believe?
I mean, I think there is. I think basically what we need is we need proof. And it's not just like proof I can see, but you know, we need like some things to happen. The Bible is full of all of these things.
Any
that
of which would have worked for you?
You know, if you
which at least probably would have worked.
If you had the opportunity to ask God, it's like for one single thing, and you could ask him for that and you would give it and he would give it to you and he would say, it's like, okay, I'm giving this to you. Well, then I don't know, that'd be kind of conclusive for me.
I think for me, it boils down to this. It's hard for me to give a definitive answer on that, But here's one thing I do know. If there's an omniscient God out there, he or she or it would know what would make me believe and could therefore provide that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So far, I have not got that in my life. So,
all right.
Apparently, God's just a jerk.
I'm still waiting.
Or doesn't exist.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love to join us next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And thank you very much and have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, everybody.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, we just sent a letter to all 260-ish superintendents in the state of Arkansas, warning them about the potential ramifications of a new law that has been passed in Arkansas that requires all public school districts to put up a plaque or a poster, a durable poster of some sort in classrooms that features In God We Trust, along with depictions of the American flag and the flag of Arkansas. The person who proposed this bill and who initially sponsored the legislation and has spoken on it publicly has said a lot about it being a way of acknowledging our country's heritage. But in an interview with HLN, Headline News, that's the CNN's sort of offshoot, he kind of betrayed the real purpose behind this when he said that this is about acknowledgement of God in public life. That's not supposed to be what the national motto is. They claim it's nothing but a historical thing. They call it ceremonial deism. They say it has nothing to do with religion. It's entirely about patriotism. But it's simply not accurate. I mean, obviously anyone who is an atheist looks at the phrase "In God We Trust" and looks at it being plastered all over public buildings and public schools and says, and when we see that, it sends an unmistakable signal that those of us who don't trust in God, those of us who are not religious, that in some way we are separate from the rest of the body politic, that in some way we're outside the norm and outside the mainstream. Now, as everyone knows, the motto has been challenged multiple times in federal court. It's been held as constitutional multiple times, and while we disagree with some of the analysis there, you know, we're not taking the motto itself to court here. What we did is we said that the compulsory placement of the motto in public schools, especially because the legislative history of this measure is clear because of the statements made by the people who proposed it, as well as by pastors and church leaders who have decided to follow through on this law and donate the In God We Trust displays to schools. Their statements make it clear what this is about. The first pastor who is donating displays to the schools in his city said that this is an opportunity for us to have a, quote, spiritual influence in schools, end quote, saying that, you know, this is about continuing to move forward in the direction of recognizing Jesus Christ and obediently following Christ. And, you know, these statements really make it clear what this is all about, that this isn't anything to do with America's history. This is entirely about promoting their religion and using this In God We Trust thing as sort of a backdoor to doing that. And so what we've done is we've warned the school districts that, you know, the execution of this law, it potentially puts their districts in under fire for litigation, especially when these displays are donated by churches and especially when churches are running around saying that the reason they're doing this is to inject religion into schools. When people say things like that, we need to take them at their word. We need to believe them. We need to look at what's happening and look at the full record and say, okay, why are they doing these things? And when they're telling us, there's no reason to not believe them.
The courts have long guarded against attempts to inject religion into public schools, even when it relates to the national motto or other types of ceremonial deism. You know, it's where the court has said that it is acceptable for legislatures to open with prayers. They've been much more unwilling to do so with school board meetings. While student-initiated prayer is constitutional, student-initiated prayer conducted over a PA system is not. In public schools, there are really bright lines. This isn't one of those bright lines, but there is a line, and it's a line that's much closer to absolute separation than it is to certain other areas. And so that's why it's important for us to call this out and to be on the ball when this sort of thing happens. Now, I want to highlight the first response that we got on this from this letter that we sent. The first response was from a superintendent in one of the school districts. I'm not going to say exactly where it is. But he questions whether or not In God We Trust establishes a religion. Obviously, it doesn't establish a religion, but it relates to the establishment of a religion. That's what it says. And he goes on to say, quote, "There are many people who believe in God, but do not believe in any religion. But here's what I will do for you. I will pray for you that you believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become saved or burdened so bad you will repent. May God have mercy on your soul. God bless you." And that's his sign off. So that's an example of how not to respond when an atheist group sends you a letter threatening you with potential litigation and advising you on how to avoid that. But we did get another response that I think was much more in keeping of what we were looking for. And I'm going to read it in its entirety because I think it does have a lot to say here. Dear Mr. Blackwell, Jeff Blackwell is our staff attorney. It says, quote, "As a Christian man and as a school superintendent, I certainly understand the conflict that exists here, and I truly appreciate your thoughtful email. Currently, my school district does not display the In God We Trust, and we have not had anyone offer to fund the posters. Therefore, we are currently in compliance with the law. However, if a sponsor offers to do so, I will present this offer to my school board and let them decide. Is there any other advice you might offer?" That's the entirety of the email from the superintendent. That's the way to do it. When we reach out, it's not to pick a fight. It's not to try to track down some poor school district that isn't going to be able to fight us in court. This is about protecting everyone's rights. It's not just about protecting atheists. It's not about atheists versus Christian. It's about recognizing that the Constitution protects all of our rights to not have schools injecting religion into instruction. Schools are there to teach our kids, you know, math, science, reading, history, not to teach them the things that are that we are supposed to be able to handle in our own homes. And so, you know, this is the right way to do it. We're offering advice. We're offering our legal interpretation of this statute, and pointing out that it may not pass muster. And so it's important for school districts to know that and to try to work with us because we want to work with them. So I've talked about schools for a little bit for the last few weeks here. If you see anything like this, if you're confronted with any potential issues regarding church-state separation or the Pledge of Allegiance or any other thing in your public school, please let us know. You can visit our website. It's www.atheists.org/report. And that is to make an official complaint to us. Let us know about what's going on, and we will see if we can resolve it for you. We had many, many folks reach out to us about this specific issue, and that's what prompted us to take action. So you don't necessarily have to come forward right away. You don't even have to be public. We just need information, and we need to be able to talk to you, and we need to have somebody reaching out to us in order for us to pursue anything. So if you encounter something like this, let us know, and we are happy to take it on. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. For more information about our work or to become a member, please visit www.atheists.org. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.